said they'd said that we could call for the elders and they'd anoint us with oil, and the prayer of faith would heal the sick. And so it's just that simple. It's the prayer, it's the, what emanates from the Spirit. It's not that you'd have to have anything. Say, what if I didn't have a bottle of oil with me? And he didn't limit you. Understand something. Once you get born again, the power's in the new nature. It's in the new nature. And when you don't understand that, it interprets all of the scriptures for you, the born-again trail. And you understand the power of the born-again trail, you understand all the power comes out of that. Otherwise, you get legalistic and you don't know you're even legalistic. But all of us still are probably being set free from certain places. He said, well, what about what it says? You know, anoint them with oil. Well, the oil didn't have any virtue in it. No more than one of these prayer cloths, except that they're an avenue of compassion. And he said that you'd go into all the world, lay hands on the sick, and they'd recover. He didn't even put a clause with it like carry a bottle of oil. So there's nothing tangible, nothing on planet Earth that you need. Well, why was the oil? Really, it probably was on a level like, you know, we send these as a point of contact, and God will follow them. Prayer cloths, Acts chapter 19. God will follow them as a point of contact for the person. And probably was James was talking there. He was talking about believers that needed some point of contact to attach their faith, hang their faith on. But when it boils down to it, you don't have to have a prayer cloth. You don't have to have a bottle of oil. All you need is a born again spirit to exercise your faith, and God will come and do it. Hallelujah. That's all. Well, I haven't been baptized. Can I go to heaven? That's another one that we don't have to teach on. So baptism is good if you want to leave a testimony of some sort, water baptism. Even Paul said this. He said, I didn't come to baptize. I came to preach the gospel to you. So there's nothing physically that you can do after you're born again that'll bring you any more. Well, if I do this physically, what? I know why we haven't had more healings, Pastor. We haven't been anointing. No, the oil doesn't do anything. It was something for baby Christians that needed something to hang their hat on. Say, okay, God will come. But all you need is them five fingers to be laid on ahead. He'll come and do whatever you ask Him to do. Hallelujah. Glorify you. Well, can I go through my house and anoint all with anointing oil? And get the demons out. Yeah, you can, but all that, what that's really doing is, it's giving you a point of contact to hang your hat on, your spiritual hat of faith. You could just stand on the threshold of your house and whisper and say, in Jesus' name, anything in here, the atmosphere, I'm telling you now. And I'm not going to fight with you. In fact, I'm going to go finish watching the second half. But in now, in Jesus' name, well, what we need to do is get together and anoint every window and every door and every... Why don't you just speak the word of faith and just say, in the name. And you can get it about that far and they're already crawling out the door. Hallelujah. You don't need anything tangible in this life to make the devil go or God to come except your faith in God. Hallelujah. Like, I need to get somewhere because I got to, you know... Somebody needs to pray for me. He's right there. He's just right there. Religion made it hard. God made it simple. Hallelujah. Well, why do we lay hands? Because Jesus said, and then the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, has set you free from the law of sin and death. So when you lay your hand, John G. Lake believed it, and he saw it in effect. The bubonic plague was placed in his hand, he put it under a microscope and it died because he said, in my flesh, in my body, lives the spirit of the law, the spirit of life. And if anything comes adverse to me, he lived for years in the worst adverse conditions because he believed that Romans Romans 8 was true that the law of the Spirit of life, the born-again nature in him, was stronger than any law of sin and death. You know, disease is in this law of sin and death. You get people, excuse me, oh God, don't come around me with that. John, they were dying by the literal tens of thousands. All of that South African nation was being wiped out. He nor none of his people that he trained died. And they'd go in there and pull the bodies out with the froth still coming out of their mouth. And you couldn't do that. If you did that, that was death. He taught them, it can't kill you. See, whatever you get where you believe, that's where you'll be. I'll catch that. Well, you probably will. But if you believe, you can just sit right across from somebody breathing right in your face. I can go in there. I go in there and it's not going to hurt me. Why? Because the law of the Spirit of life lives in you. Well, I might catch it. No, you better stay outside of this hut because you'll probably die. But if you know the law of the Spirit of life lives on the inside of you, what can it do? Hallelujah to God. Are you hearing this for the first time or are you just enjoying it? And we keep a common cold. Oh, God, don't come around me. Don't come around me. My God. In the last days, you're going to be late. See, we don't have, you know, like they had leprosy. That tests your faith. You know, the disciples were told, go out and lay hands on the lepers. Just lay your hands on them right there. Where? In the name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus. No, go get you a big handful of it. Just smear it all in there. Jesus' name. Woo, Jesus' name. That's where your faith is at. It's where you're at. If you believe that the law of the Spirit of life. Now, if you think, if we ever go on a mission trip, any of you think it might get you, tell me because you need to stay out or don't go. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. Well, I'm scared about going on this trip because what if they give us something? Well, don't go. But in His service, now you don't go and drink a bottle of strychnine just to prove. You don't take up servants just to prove it. But Paul just shook it off. Just shook it off when it was on his hand. Didn't even make a big deal of it. My God, we'd be like, tie this thing around the candy and get me to the 911. This rattlesnake bit me, and God, call everybody in the church and call Dave right now. Right now. Paul just shook it off and said, what's the next door? What are we doing around here? What's the next order of business? Man, that guy's going to die. No, he believed that the law of the Spirit of life was greater than the law of sin and death. He believed in it. Now, have we arrived? No. But the more you take from him, the enemy, the more he'll give you. You'll get where after a while you won't even step outside of your house. But then you'll get where after a while you'll say, take me into the hospitals where the sick are dying. Take me into the insane asylums. Some of you are trying to figure out how to keep your own self sane. You sure don't want to go in there and look at somebody cross-eyed with devils coming out of their mouth. Say, I can't go in there because it might set me off. Lord, it might get me. Listen, you're supposed to be going in there where they're just, I'll kill you, and you just feel so wonderful, so peaceful. This can't get on me. This can't jump on me. This can't make me have a bad hair day. Well, you start thinking about it. Maybe this might get me. Just stay outside. Stay outside. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you. So, where was we at? That's good English, isn't it? Where was we at? Anybody need prayer? Now, no. Everybody got healed. Here's an honest person in the crowd. Hallelujah. Come up here and stand. I thank you. I can do nothing of myself. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Desire, Lord, to speak not my own words, but to speak yours. So now, once again, after all these times, help me once again, Holy Spirit. Teacher, minister of truth and grace, I pray now that your wisdom will unfold inside of this house, inside of our spirits. Father, I pray that we'll search your word to know your truth and to follow you in spirit and in truth, we pray. Hallelujah. Thank you for the prayers of your people in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. As I said, I know that we're going to cover several scriptures here, and I'm going to be reading most of them. So I'll tell you right now, only the ones that I'm asking you to turn to, be beneficial for you not to try to go to all these, and you'll get lost. So I'd like to see your faces most of the time when I'm looking at you. So this will be where we'll start off, though, is Matthew chapter 12. You can turn there if you would. Look at a few verses. We're going to try to get to verse 36 here. So what he wants me to say and talk to you about really is speaking meditated or speaking unmeditated words. So what do you mean? Well, I'm going to tell you what I mean. Speaking, everybody say this, speaking, meditated or unmeditated words, speaking, meditated or unmeditated thoughts. All right, you're doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. I can tell you this, I hate to say it, but most of the church is just loose cannons. Most of the church at large is, you hear when they talk, they reveal that they're doing the other part, speaking unmeditated words. Well, Jesus addressed this, and we're going to look at it. We can't go into the full teaching here, or we'll lose some time. But let's use it as a kickoff. And as I said, if you want the scriptures, get the tape or write them down. And they'll be beneficial. We'll read most of them to you. But let's look at verse 34. It's red letter edition, so you know Jesus is speaking here. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart speaketh forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of treasures bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the what? Day of judgment. For by thy words, by thy what? Thank you. By thy words shalt thou be justified, and by thy words shalt thou be what? Condemned. All right, now look up, if you would please. We don't have time to go into this full address here, but I'll tell you this, where I need to get to real quickly is the core of what Jesus was addressing. And most of you will never, ever be entangled in that. If you come here, by the grace of God, you're well past that. What Jesus was addressing, he's just talking about the subject of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And just real quickly, without going into that, Jesus was not, and I can tell you this emphatically, Jesus was not teaching about an unpardonable sin like most of you in the past, unless you've come to the point where you understand it. He was not teaching about an unpardonable sin that could not be pardoned by God if you repented from. But what he was teaching about something, in fact, he gave us the, he just taught it so plain that if you were reading and actually reading what he was saying, he said, in fact, this sin could not be forgiven in this world nor the world to come. Now, if it was totally unimpartable, he wouldn't even have mentioned the world to come. But what he was really talking about was this. There were religious, there were men that were preachers, and they were standing up and they were accountable for what they were saying because they were ascribing to the works that he was doing. He was casting out devils, and they were saying, this man's casting out the devil by a devil. And so what they were talking about was, they were saying, this isn't coming out by the Holy Spirit of God. This is coming out by a demonic spirit. And Jesus said, you generation of vipers. He said, you know better than this. But he said, this sin of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, what he was saying was attributing the works of God to the works of the enemy, or speaking idle words. Now, when he talks about the unpardonableness of it, he goes on to say it could not be forgiven in this life or the world to come. What he was really talking about, in short, without going into a great teaching on it, he was talking about, and he even said, he said, you could be forgiven by the Son of Man or by the Son, but whosoever blasphemes the Holy Spirit cannot be forgiven quickly. Just a mini teaching. What he was saying is, you could enter through the door, which was the Son. You could enter in through Him and get forgiveness, but you could still, as a religious person, go on to speak unmeditated words about the works of God and say, the Holy Ghost is not for today. Baptism's not for today. It's not His will to be for everybody to be healed. God doesn't do that. Now, what they were doing was even more venomous. But He said, you can't speak these words. You can even be forgiven. Get inside the door. But you can't, you cannot, God cannot pass over that sin and come and heal you in this life, nor in the world to come. Will it not reap in the fact that there will be a loss of reward? You can be inside of Christ as a good fundamentalist and say, the Holy Spirit's not for today, but speaking those words will not be forgiven in the next life. Does it keep you out of heaven? No. If you're there, he wasn't talking about a judgment. Well, there's a book back there that talks about the unpardonable sin, and it'll alleviate all that. Just to let you know, any of you, the devil's got a lot of mileage on that before in the past. Anything that you truly repent for, you can be forgiven for. It's going on and speaking idle words. Now look what Jesus said here. He said, verse 36, but I say unto you that every idle, everybody say idle, word shall, that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. He's not talking about, again, let's kill some horses here. Let's kill some things that have been wrongly taught. Al, you said that little funny. That's an idle word. That's not even in context. He's not talking about, you couldn't tell a good hunting, clean hunting joke. You couldn't talk about football, baseball, going shopping at the mall. You couldn't do these things. What he was talking about, any idle word, and the word here, idle in the Greek, is the word that means inactive, unemployed, meaning it didn't come from someplace, it just come off the top of your head, lazy, useless, barren, idle, or slow. Any word that you spoke, what he was saying about the things of God, when you should have been saying the mind of Christ, which is according to the Word, and especially, now the heart of this is when men of God teach things contrary to the Word of God and keep people in bondage and tell them, you don't have an inheritance. You can get saved, you can come through the door, which is the Son, but you can't go on to reap a full inheritance. You can't be healed, you can't be totally delivered. God just, He'll heal some and He won't heal all. He said, you'll give an account. Those preachers will give an account on the day of judgment. Now, as it progressively goes from that place of foundation, you've got to understand something else. He wasn't, as I said before, he wasn't talking about us jesting, having a good time, but he was talking about any time that you speak in the stead, as if you're standing in proxy for God and somebody's listening to you, and you're uttering your voice as if you were saying something that you believed was the mind of Christ, and you speak those words and they're not according to the mind of Christ, he said, you'll give an account for that. You'll give an account for that. See, I don't have to, I'm learning. I haven't arrived. I'll just say it like this. I'm learning. I don't have to check myself, go inward, when me and these two youngins over here are having a good time, my two nephews, when we're just acting the fool. Well, I got to watch them. I might have to watch myself. When I'm trying to figure out, you know, which deer stand to go on, I don't have to necessarily go inward. When I'm talking to Matt or Homer or somebody, you know, Matt, we're just, I don't like that. It's all right for me to say, I don't like that guy, you know, that the way he runs the ball. I don't like the way he does it. That's not where this place is to be drawn on. Or where, when I'm talking about Homer, that I like that steak. Turn it over again, Homer. I don't have to check my spirit. But I'm telling you, there's a place that God wants you to live out of. There's a place which nurtures everybody around you. There's a place where your words are weighty and they're full of life. Once you got born again, you didn't get born again just for yourself. You became a diplomat. You became someone that is supposed to, when people talk to you, you're supposed to render a word that comes out of a well that gives life. It's supposed to be weighty words. There's a couple men that I talk to, and there's a bunch of you that have the word, and you edify me, but there's some men that I talk to, a couple in particular, and I look at them as spiritual fathers. I don't care. It's amazing to me. I don't care if we're just talking about something light. Just something even joking around. It seems like it has an anointing with it. It seems like the words are weighty. Why? Because they've developed a place where they're always pulling out of something on the inside. And Jesus, He was talking about the core of what He was talking about was speaking idle words in the stead of the doctrine of God. But how far does this progress? What are we really accountable for? Well, I've said we're not really accountable for good, clean jokes and having a good time and laughing and all those kind of things. But Jesus said this, and we won't turn, as I said, we won't turn to all these. Just listen and write them down. He said in John 6:63, He said, "It is the Spirit," and He wasn't talking about the big Spirit. He said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Now listen, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Jesus said, the flesh, it doesn't profit anything. But He said, the words that I speak into you, they are spirit. And He wasn't talking about the Holy Spirit. He was talking about whatever I'm saying to you comes out of my new nature. And He said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit. In other words, they come out of my spirit. And because they come out of my spirit, they have life to them. If you'll listen to these things, well, listen. Jesus was the prototype, but you've been born again. You've got the same essence on the inside of you that He was speaking about. He was saying, what's in my new nature, little s, not big s, the words that I speak to you, they're spirit, they're coming out of my pneuma, they're coming out of that reservoir that's on the inside. You as diplomats, when you talk to somebody, listen, even when you're talking something like, even when I'm talking to Matt about football, I'm monitoring my spirit about where should this conversation go. I'm looking inside of it because it shouldn't always, our conversation shouldn't always be light. But when they transition into that place where we begin to converse, whether on life or on spiritual things, there is a place where idle words are not allowable. It's a place where you begin to dig deep. If you're born again. If you're born again, like Jesus said, the words that I speak into you, they'll transform your life. If you take them. Listen, He wasn't the only one that was supposed to be transforming people's lives. When we get together, we're supposed to be transforming each other's lives by digging into the well, taking what I've got and saying, look, here's a good thought. It didn't come out of here. It came out of my spirit, my pneuma. Take it. And when they take it, they say, oh, that makes me feel better. Hallelujah. That gave vision to me. That gave instruction to me. That gave wisdom. Hallelujah. You getting anything out of this? It says the flesh profiteth. That word profiteth is useful or beneficial. It says it's useful or beneficial for nothing. You know what the flesh is? He wasn't talking about just the body. He was talking about the head that went along with the body. He said, in essence, you can't tell me anything that you know in your head that's going to profit me anything. Well, let me tell you, I went through this experience before. If it's not coming out of your spirit, you can take that experience and combine it with your spirit and speak words of life and edify somebody in your life. Are you listening? He said, it profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, their spirit, their life, they create. When we speak, they create. Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, keep your heart, that's your spirit person, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of that heart are the issues of life. The issues of life. Somebody said, I don't want to hear that, because it might... Yes, you're supposed to watch... Listen, don't be like this. I want to hear that. More's not always better. More's not always better. I saw a horrible thing taking place in the European nations. They're allowed to have the gospel in there now. But I saw a flood of just... They were thinking, at least where I was at, we'll get some of these books and some of that. More's not always better. More's just more, and it'll mix you up sometimes. That's why you got the Holy Spirit. Well, I want to listen a little bit of him, and a little bit of him, and a little bit of him, and a little bit of her, and then I can have it all in a hodgepodge, and I can put it, and maybe it'll all round me out. It'll round you out. It'll mess you up. That's why you got the Holy Ghost. He's pinpointed. Guard your heart. He said, keep your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. Why? Because out of it, the Hebrew says, are the going forths. That's what it says, the going forths of the issues of life. You're supposed to have a reservoir that when we speak, if you draw on it, you can contribute. You can contribute. He said, guard this well, your heart, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It'll not only help you, it'll help everybody else around you. It'll minister grace to the hearer. Hallelujah. Proverbs 25:11, it says, a word fitly spoken. Listen, a word fitly spoken, when it's supposed to be said, a word fitly spoken is like, listen how descriptive he is here, it's like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Is there worth in that? I had a conversation with her. I had a conversation with him. It was like apples of gold. Is that a beautiful thing? Apples of gold in a picture of silver. It was just priceless. See, do you understand what you have on the inside of you? And what's available in all of us to minister one to another and to hear? Now, that's the main thing, is to hear. How do I develop that? How do I develop that? It's really quite simple. Let's look at Romans 8 for just a moment. Are you getting anything? Amen. Hallelujah. Look at Romans 8. See, one of the most misunderstood things about who you are is what it's about to be led by the Spirit. Now, again, we don't have time to teach this. I would invite you to, we have a set of tapes over there called the Born Again Trail. You can check them out. We can't quite give them to you. We could, but you need to check them out and bring them back because other people need to listen to them. There's several volumes. One of the greatest monumental discoveries that I believe that goes along with the church today is the teachings that go in that set of series, that set of tapes. On the Born Again Trail. Romans 8 here. Now, you just have to trust me, but if you don't trust me, that's good too. Go and get the tapes and prove me wrong. I'll challenge you. In the Greek, there are no big S's and little S's. When Paul or any of them are speaking about spirit, it's all just small case. It's the word pneuma. So it's the word pneuma, and so you have to understand that it's nothing that you can just read according to the grammatical setting and understand, hey, he's talking about the Holy Ghost. No, he's talking about my spirit. It is subject to the reading of the passage. It's subject to the place, the context of where the passage is at. Now, in Romans 8, he does a lot of talking about the Spirit. But I can tell you this, the first place that he ever mentions, and we're not even going to study this chapter, the first place that he ever mentions in all those spirits, which King James puts capital on, is verse 16. It's the first place he mentions the Holy Ghost. And that's not the place that we're going this morning, but I'm just telling you that is this. There's a lot of other mentions of Spirit prior to verse 16. And so if you go down that born-again trail, you'll understand. And if you read this Romans about 50 times, even if you didn't go listen to those tapes, it'd pop out at you. And you'd say, oh, I understand. I'm a spirit, but I've been born again. And I'm an individual spirit from God, but God's come and done a work inside of me. So Romans 8 will make a whole lot more sense to you. But here's where he wants you to understand now. Speaking words that are idle can be corrected when you understand who you are. And when you understand what Paul is talking about here in Romans 8 about you as an individual being led by the Holy Spirit. Because that's exactly what he says here. And we'll read these few verses together so you can hear. Verse 9 it says, or verse 8 it says, so then that are they that are of the flesh cannot please God. Now, real quickly, he's not talking about you having a bad hair day. Like, you know our vernacular? When somebody cusses, we say, man, they got in the flesh on that, didn't they? Say, yeah, they did. But he's not talking about that. When he's talking about the flesh here, is he's a carryover from Romans 7, which he differentiates and says, everybody that I'm talking about in the flesh is people that have not yet been born again. And you can see that real clear if you were teaching on that or if we had a build up teaching to that. So when Paul says the flesh here, he's not talking about when you as a Christian have a bad time and you tell somebody off and you got in the flesh. We understand that. We understand that vernacular, but that's not what he's talking about here. What he's talking about here is people that are not yet born again versus those that are in the Spirit. When you are declared by Paul in Romans 7 in the Spirit, you've transitioned from being out of the flesh, which is a dead nature, to now you're in the Spirit, you've been born again. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
So we're going someplace here. Now listen, he says here, but you're not, he tells you, but you're not, verse 9, in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. King James has some big S's, and I know it's for those of you that haven't studied it, it's kind of a swallow, but he's still talking about your individual spirit. But if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, boy, a good fundamentalist will fight you on that. I've got the Spirit of Christ. He's the Holy Ghost. we said last week, the Holy Ghost didn't set anybody free. He gave you the new nature which set you free. If he could have set you free, he'd have set all the Old Testament saints free. He just couldn't. He couldn't until the firstborn was born. Then he come to give them the Spirit of Christ, which is the new nature. And the moment that the new nature comes inside of you, my friend, you are free. You don't have to sin anymore. Sin doesn't have dominion over you anymore. The dictates of sin doesn't have dominion over you anymore. But once more, you get an opportunity to be led by the Holy Ghost, or by the Spirit. Correct me, I'm correcting myself. He says here, but if the Spirit of Christ that raised up, or the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, verse 11, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, that's the old nature, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, well, I know how we taught that for years, and I taught it knowing it, but when you're breaking into things, You got to teach people that this is in coordination with Romans 8:26. But really, the catalyst that changes your whole life is the new nature on the inside of you. It's what the Holy Spirit can do on the inside of you. He says here, again, therefore, brethren, we're not debtors. We are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How many of us say, I am a son of God? Now see, right there, one of the ways that the enemy tricks us in thinking that we can't be led moment by moment is that when we believe that what he's talking about here is being led by the Holy Spirit. Because when we think about being led by the Holy Spirit, usually when we think about being led by the Spirit, we usually think about, oh, that's the Holy Spirit. And so usually what we equivocate that to is hearing His voice, like saying, go here, go there, say this, don't say that, do this, do that. We usually put it into that kind of emphasis, and what that does is it divorces us in our thinking so far from what God engineered on the inside of it to make, on the inside of us to make all this simple. Because trust me, when he says as many as be led by the Spirit of God, he's not talking about you being led by the Holy Ghost. Now there is a place where the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you on your daily walk. That's true. But what he's talking about here, as many as have been born again and their whole life has been encompassed by this Spirit, this new nature. Their whole life is inside of Christ. You're no longer in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. So now, the dictates of our life, the going forth of our life, is not somebody outside of us, even though He lives inside of us. It's not somebody that we've got to depend on saying, go right, go left, go left. It's saying here that your whole life now, when he says led, the word led means now you're inside of Christ. Your spirit is inside of Christ because you're a new creature. Can you see the difference? When you're waiting for God to speak to you, you're thinking, should I go here? Should I go there? When you're wanting to pull up words on the inside to counsel yourself or to speak life to someone else, when you're waiting for God to come, it divorces you from the immediacy that you've got the Spirit on the inside, which is the new nature. That's who you are. How can you be very far from who you are? Did you hear me? How can you be very far from who you are? What God has given to us on the inside is something we can dip down into continually because it's as close as the very person who I am. I am led by the Spirit, meaning I'm in the Spirit because I've stepped past the place where I was once in the flesh. Now I'm in the Spirit. And so the dictates of the flesh I don't have to do. Not only do I not have to do the dictates of the flesh, I have a reservoir of life. I have life on the inside of me that is supposed to be followed. It's supposed to be followed as close as what? Peace. That peace that guides me. The Word goes on to talk about, and they that are of God are the sons of God, and when they cry out, Abba, His Spirit, verse 16, bears witness with our spirit. That's where the compass is really at. It's in the new nature. That's where you're getting all the reservoir of life. It's as close as you are because it is who you are. Oh, glory to God. Well, what does this do? It causes you to live like spirit beings. Oh, Holy Ghost, come and tell me this. He'll come and tell you outside things that you don't know. But you're a computer that's already been diagrammed with life on the inside. And the Word only enhances that life. Praying in tongues only enhances that life. You've got a well that you don't have to go and say, I'm going to lock myself up and go hear from God. You got to go hear from Him on specifics, like should I go there, should I be employed there? But listen, the walking out of your daily life is you living in that place of knowing, I've got a reservoir, I'm led by the Spirit because I'm inside of God. I'm inside of Him. What does this do? It makes you more accountable when you talk. When you talk. Why? Because I wasn't designed in this to be giving you mere idle words all the time. Did you hear me? I wasn't designed, if you're born again, wave at me if you're born again this morning. That's a lot of us. Do you know you have a reservoir on the inside of you? You've been given the spirit of the new nature. And that new nature carries with it life. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. And they are what? Transforming life. Hallelujah. Now, I like this. I like this. James 1:19. Oh, no, before we go there. This is, I was just going to quote that one for you, but this one I missed putting down, but we can turn here. Proverbs 20, verse 5. And we're just going to just jump over it real quick, go through it. Counsel in the heart of man. Listen to this. Where's all this at? Where's all the leadership at? Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. It's like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Now look up. Counsel, whatever you're needing, whatever somebody else is needing, do you know how often we just say something? But do you know how close it is to being right? It's just the waiting. It says the counsel that you need is in the heart. It's in the spirit of man. But a man of understanding, what does that mean? Understanding will draw it out. Did you know why I love this in the Hebrew? It actually said this in the Hebrew. It said, a man of understanding will drop a bucket down to draw it out. You've been born again. You have a nature on the inside of you that is the first line of defense. The Holy Spirit comes as a cream to the, he's a icing on the cake. He's the one that birthed you, and he steps back and says, now do you want to be filled? Oh yeah, I'll be filled. But the first place that you got to understand, the leadership of that peace is in a deep place. And every time you stop, when you're inquired upon, and you don't just speak it, but you say, wait a minute, let me let down the bucket into this well. Let me just think for just a moment. You say, this is real hard. Now, if I never can say anything then. No. I'm not talking about, as I said before, when you're having a good time. I'm talking about when things matter. And you know, most of our life does matter. Most of our life does matter. And most of the time, we don't let the bucket down. You know how quick this can be done? It can be quick as you looking, instead of saying, you look on the inside. James said, let every man be slow to speak. And quick to hear. Slow to speak. Why? Because let the bucket down in and pull it up and see how it reflects with the Word of God. See if what you're about to say really reflects the Word of God. Are you getting anything out of this? Well, I just need the Holy Ghost to come. No. He'll be there with you, but you're already led by the Spirit because you've been born again. And if you'll just take that half second and look down inside of you and check. See, as much as I love you, I don't need your opinion. People are so opinionated. Well, let me tell you what I think about it. I don't care what you think about it. Drop the bucket and tell me what God says about it. And the words that you give me will be spirit. They'll be life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of the righteous man studieth, listen to this, studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked just pours out evil things. I want you to know this morning, God wants you to know, you've got a reservoir. How quick can it be drawn on? Just like that, but you practice. Listen, this is an art that must be practiced in our life. It must be practiced. And the more you do it, the better you'll get at it. All of us have walked away saying, what did I just say? Unmeditated words. Meditated words are the bucket going down and you pull them. Listen, the richest things you'll ever tell anybody are the things that you've already pondered over and the Holy Spirit said, no, that's not right. And you say, oh, that's right. the word, you know. You just, and when you speak it, it's life. It's life. It gives life to the hearer. Hallelujah. Proverbs 16:1 says, the preparation of the heart and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Hallelujah. The preparation of the heart. How many of you want to have an answer on your tongue that comes right out of the heart of God? Now listen, that goes to another area too. If you don't prepare anything, there's nothing there to pull from. So that means stammering lips and other tongues and praying the prayers and reading the Word of God gives you a good reservoir so that when God asks you, because listen, even when you're, most of you don't even equivocate what I'm saying. You think we're talking about me sitting across, or you sitting across from somebody with the Bible trying to save their life from committing suicide or going into some deep counsel. Do you understand how many times every single day you've got an opportunity to stand in the stead of God and enhance somebody's life and change the world around you just by the things that you say? Now, it doesn't have to change your personality. If you're a good, happy-go-lucky, comical kind of guy, stay that way. But keep when it is important. And that's a lot of times every day. Say the things that come from the well. The preparation of the heart and the answer of the tongue. Proverbs 16:23, a man hath joy. You want joy? A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. By the answer of his mouth. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. Okay? Guess what? The way you answer it, where you go to, is going to bring an atmosphere. An atmosphere of joy by the answer of his mouth. And the word spoken in season, he said, in due season, he says, how good it is. I got to read this again. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Hallelujah. Hey, you know, the church needs more men and women to speak the right word at the right time. How good it is. That's a Jackie Gleason. He used to say, how sweet it is. Some of you don't even know who Jackie Gleason was. But that's my how sweet it is. I like to talk to people that are offering something. I want to offer something to you. Even if we're just fishing and having a good time, I want to continue to be offering something good to you. Because it's not just he's the one. Now I've become the one. I'm the one that's required of, see, here we're a long ways, a good ways from what Jesus was addressing about idle words. Because that was real bad. That was real bad about saying the Holy Ghost, you know, the devil did that when the Holy Ghost was doing that. And that's not the problem he's addressing. The digression of it is this. You've got the essence of Christ on the inside of you. You have the ability to create life or to pull life down. And where in the day of judgment that you'll be required, I mean, you won't be going to hell or there won't be no smoke on your back, but what you'll get or won't get will be based on all of your walk in this life. What you were speaking, even in the most mundane, casual conversations, if you just spoke off the top of your head or you spoke out of the well. Are you still with me? Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. He says in Proverbs 17:28, now listen to this. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Now let me say this again. He said it. Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. You know why sometimes people ask you something or me something, and we don't give the mind of Christ? Is because we put ourselves under the pressure like, I got to say something. I need to respond. Listen, have you ever been standing around and you just know everybody's putting their two cents? Two cents. Two cents. It's not meditated. Two cents, and then somebody comes up there and drops a $100 bill. You say, my God, where you been? They pulled it from someplace deep. 2 cents won't make a difference in the world. That's where most of the church speaks from when they've been empowered and engraced with a place to always be speaking words of life. And then you say, well, I don't have anything. That's good, then don't say nothing. Don't think that you've got to add 2 cents. You're better. You'll be dropping a $100 bill just by not saying nothing. Don't mess up the pot by trying to say something. Just say, I don't know right now. Hallelujah. And I'm not saying, well, every time you open your mouth, you got to say, well, John says, blah, 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 blah. The verse, that's good. I like verses. But you just know that by the compassion and by the love, some people open their mouth and you know that they're coming from a slant. Well, I think you should do that. Woo, I know where that come from. You've been holding that one for a while, ain't you? You've been waiting for this opportunity. Lord God, nobody should have asked your advice. And they're on the inside, they're feeling so good. Whoo, that makes me feel good. I've been waiting for 10 years to give that. That didn't come from no meditated place. Some kind of idle word out of the flesh. Did you wait? Most of the time, I tell you, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. A lot of times I just have to say, I don't know, or I'm just quiet. You say, you quiet because God's talking to you. No, I'm quiet because I don't know anything. Somebody said, Jesus was just, I bet he was putting some kind of, you know, he was waiting. The word says, Paul even said, wait. He just told us to wait on our, he gave the qualifications for the fivefold. He said, everybody that prophesies, wait on the prophecy. Meaning, even when you start feeling them doodads, don't jump out and just start saying something. Wait, listen, pull it up, pull it up, pull it up. Wait on it. I don't know what Jesus was doing. The word doesn't say. Somebody said, well, I bet he was putting the Ten Commandments in the dirt when he was just sitting there doodling in the dirt. You know, he was a man that had to be led just like you and me. I don't know. It's just mine. You know, they said, well, I bet he was ascribing the law in there, in the dirt, when they were trying, you know, they were going to stone that woman. And Jesus wouldn't even acknowledge him, and he was just writing, the Bible says he was writing in the dirt with his finger. He just, what was he doing? I don't know. I think he was just waiting on God for a word. I think he was just, see, everything Jesus did was, he brought it from a deep place. And you say, you can't prove that. I know I can't prove that, but I'll tell you, that's his disposition. Jesus would only tell you what came out of that place. He wouldn't give you the 2 cents. Hallelujah. And this is good. It makes us accountable to one another. It makes us accountable to one another. I know that I've let you down many times, like you've let me down, because you gave me the best shot that you could give me. Or you just heard everybody talking. You walked over, what's everybody talking about? And you just threw it in. You better repent. Well, I think, where did that come? How much did you think about that before you said it? How long did you pray? How much did you look down inside before you told somebody, you need to straighten up? I don't like what you're wearing this morning. You know, you can do better than that. Oh, I know that was meditated. My God. Ooh, you drew it from a deep place. Glory to God. My God, I'm glad there's nobody in this church that applies to. This just goes out on the... We're just having a good time this morning. Hallelujah. Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a wise. Everybody, hallelujah. Colossians 4:6 says this, let your speech be always, doesn't say sometimes, it says always, with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Now he's talking about salt being a preservative and salt being a seasoning. And he was saying it's good to salt your conversation with grace, so that every time you're answering somebody, it gives grace to the hearer. What you're saying has, it may not, I mean, you may be just having a good time, but what you're saying, and how close is it, Pastor? I gotta go seek God, come back, okay, I finished my conversation. No, you just keep looking. See, those that are led by the Spirit, it's talking about led by that new nature, Those that are led by that new nature, they don't have to go off and pray. They just keep an eye on. Now, there's a lot of times I don't have to keep an eye on. When I'm just acting crazy, now I better watch. Sometimes I don't get out of hand. But when you're just having a good time, you don't have to keep looking at that well. But there's a lot of your life that somebody's going to ask you. And sometimes you're going to think, well, that's not an important question. It made a turning point for them. Let your words always be seasoned with grace, seasoned by salt, the salt of grace, grace that it may, you may know how to answer every man. Hallelujah. Is this good stuff or what? Just almost through. Psalms 19:14, let the words of my mouth, I think Candy read that this morning, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The words, you know the words in your meditation, what you've been thinking on? It'll come out. It'll come out. And if you prepare it, if you meditate the word, you're just a walking. You don't have to prepare yourself to say, wonder what's coming my way today. If you put enough word in there, you'll be a reservoir that everybody will be able to pull on all the time. Now, real quick in closing, now let me give you the screen by which all this is screened through. That you got to have it in your spirit all the time. 1 Corinthians 13, you might as well look at that together with me as we're getting close to finishing here. Now, aren't we glad of what the Holy Spirit's done today? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 13, this is where Paul, this is the filtering system. This is what's got to be working on the inside of us. And he says in verse 1, he says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, have not charity. Now, charity here is love. Everybody got that? I've become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And he goes on to talk about prophecy. I'm not going to go there. Verse 3, bestow all my gifts to the... He's talking about the gospel entrepreneur. Not going to go there. Charity suffereth long. Now look at the qualities of love. Love suffers long. It is kind. Love envieth not. Love doesn't vaunt itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemingly. It seeketh not its own. You see, what he's saying here is this. If all these things are working in you and they can't work in and of yourself, they've got to be coming through the Holy Ghost into that reservoir, which is the new nature. If that's the screen by which you speak, boy, when you get to heaven, you won't have to worry about idle words because they'll be meditated words. Well, what I'm about to say, does this puff me up? Well, I wish I hadn't have thought that. I'd have rather said that and then thought of it later. Does it make you look better in the eyes of everybody? Well, I didn't want to say this, but I've been on a long, long, long fast. Y'all didn't hear that. You know how often we can just drop things, name drop, just because we want to appear really. We need to be like him, don't we? No, don't be like me, my God, please. Be like Jesus. But follow me as I follow Christ. Woo, we're getting someplace this morning. He says, it doesn't behave itself unseemingly. It's not, ooh, God, why'd you have to say this? It's not easily provoked. It doesn't get easily provoked. If these things are working in you, what you say won't be idle words because it's the filtering system. It does what? It's not easily provoked. Are you there with me? It thinketh no evil. Well, I know something about them. I know you do. But the fact of the matter is, have you screened it through the meditation of Christ? Have you looked at it through His eyes and what He wants to do for them? So that when you pull up those words, they're not idle words, but they're words that have been meditated on. You may have to speak when somebody asks you concerning somebody, but it won't be from a slant on a disposition that you've been thinking about it, but you've been covering it through the mind of Christ. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Now finishing this up, he says that it's not easily provoked. It rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. That doesn't mean you believe everything that everybody tells you. Believing in the truth, comparing everything with the truth. It hopeth all things, endures all things. Charity never does what? It never fails. Never fails. Whereas prophecies, they'll fail, and tongues, it's talking about all of this wrapping up in an age to come. But it's talking about the love of God. It never fails. Jesus said, we'll give an account. Does that keep me out of heaven? Oh, no. We're a church, people. His church, His body. How far are we away from always being led? As close as just going inward. Do you know how to go inward? Well, I'm not sure. It means that you meditate. Meditation is not something that takes a long time to do. You know what the word meditate, it means to ponder, muse. It means, it even carries the word mutter, like you just repeat it back to yourself. You can repeat it back to yourself in your mind. What I'm about to say, how does this sound? Now this is not a message of bondage, it's a message of life. You've always got that available to you. Always. Let our speech, Colossians says, verse chapter 4, and we'll end it with this. Again, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Hallelujah. Now, are we going to make mistakes in the future? Yes, but what he's wanting you to understand is this. There's a place that if you're aware of it, you can talk the mind of Christ. You can share spirit and life. Amen. Did you get anything out of this? Hallelujah. Would you stand with me this morning? Hallelujah.